Wisconsin IDEA mm-hmm. is in statute.
Right.
The people at the university and throughout the state actually feel that that's very important. I don't know why free speech wouldn't be just as important.
Is free speech under attack at our universities? A recent poll found 73% of college students who consider themselves strong Republicans censor their own beliefs inside the classroom. We've also seen repeated attempts at silencing speakers at campuses all across the country. Hello, I'm Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and today we're discussing campus free speech on The Right Angle.
Welcome back to The Right Angle, the official podcast of the Wisconsin Assembly Republicans. Every week, we give you an inside look at the policies and politics that are driving conversations in the Capitol and across the state, hosted by Speaker Robin Voss. Today, the Speaker is talking with Representative Dave Murphy about the Campus Free Speech Bill.
Hello, I'm Speaker Robin Voss. Joining me today on The Right Angle is Representative Dave Murphy of Greenville. Dave is chair of the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities and also one of the authors of the Campus Free Speech Bill with Representatives Cody Horlocker and Senator Chris Kapinga. Boy, you know, I see all across the country that so many times on a college campus, we'll bring in a well-known speaker, you'll bring in somebody who wants to offer a different set of views, and before you know it, we see a protest, or they try to stop the person from speaking. To me, that seems like something that would be a universally opposed idea, that free speech should be something that of any place in the country, it should be on a college campus where both sides get to be viewed, light is shown on it. Is it a problem here in Wisconsin, and why did you decide to author this bill this session?
Well, certainly we've heard, Robin, about many of the problems around the country, whether it's at Cal Berkeley or at Wichita State, where the student government was refused to recognize libertarian student groups, at Middlebury College, Charles Murray was shouted down mm-hmm. and not allowed to speak. He actually had to go to the hospital. So in our system, the UW system, is rated in the 10 worst colleges for free speech around the country.
Well, that's something to be embarrassed about, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. Especially, you know, here in Wisconsin, we'd like to think of ourselves as a free speech, mm-hmm. Very free speech progressive.
Yeah, Wisconsin nice.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Wisconsin IDEA, Robin. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin IDEA talking about at our universities, we're seeking truth, we're sifting and winnowing to try to find that truth. And of course, on the UW campus, Speaker Ben Shapiro was shouted down and blocked from speaking. Someone said, well, he finally was able to finish, and, you know, that's true. On the other hand, there's a whole auditorium full of people that are sitting there waiting to participate mm-hmm. in this free speech, and somehow nobody cares about the fact that they're also being disrupted from hearing what the speaker is saying. Because really, free speech is not just about speaking. It's about the communications that's taking place. So it's not just one person that's harmed. It's everyone in the audience that's harmed that can't speak that day.
Boy, it's really a shame, isn't it? I mean, I guess when I went to college, we had a speaker that came onto campus. It was, and I guess this is going to show my age, Dave, but it was one of the Contras when they had the entire discussion in Nicaragua
sure.
Between the Contras and the Sandinistas. They had both sides come in so that we were able to hear both sides of the argument, and then students could decide for themselves. I guess that to me should be the norm, that if you bring in a speaker who's in favor of something, the university should try to find someone who's credible who would be in opposition so students could attend both. If they wanted to protest one or the other outside, I know I've heard you talk about this when you were on Mike Goucher. I think that's an excellent point, that if somebody wants to protest outside, they want to hand out leaflets, you're 100% right. They have every right to do that. But as soon as you walk inside that hall, it seems like you should then respect the fact that the person has a right to speak. You can perhaps jeer or boo or clap or not clap, but to not let them speak at all or try to stand in the front of the auditorium to prevent them from being seen or any of those things, it just should never be allowed. And I don't know why the left has this passion for only one side of the argument, and that's the rights of the protester, but not the rights of the audience and the speaker.
Well, I always find it interesting, Robin, when people are defending the protester, they wouldn't want to be somehow disrupted while mm-hmm. they were talking about
that. That's a
great
point.
And
yeah,
if they did that, if somebody did that, they would be appalled.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually
were just used to it because of Act 10. You know, but I think that's the point, that it should be both sides that get to be heard. And, you know, I guess I look at your bill, and first of all, I know you've done great work as chair of the Colleges and Universities Committee, and I know
seriously,
you've done a great job, and you have a passion for higher education. And when a parent sends a child to go to university, they hope that they come out a whole lot smarter than they went in, right? That's the point.
Well, absolutely, Robin. And, you know, I had a professor that asked me to speak to a group of students at UW Oshkosh. And he said it was a group of conservative students, and they were concerned about the fact that they didn't feel comfortable stating their opinions in the classroom.
Isn't that sad?
So I'm expecting to go to a meeting and see, 20 kids, and there was more like 200,
wow.
maybe more. And the thing that they talked about was just the fact that rather than argue with professors and the other students, because they feel like it's, you know, the whole thing is stacked against them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the students are liberal, and the professor is also liberal, and they just attack them, and they don't feel comfortable with it.
Well, you know, it's a sad commentary. I actually had one of my constituents contact me because their son applied at the UW-Madison Business School.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an essay that you have to write. And when you read the questions on the essay, they are obviously intended to produce a certain answer that you would classify as liberal. They were basically on affirmative action, some of those kind of things.
Sounds like a push-pull.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's what it was. And I actually asked the student, I said, well, how did you deal with this? And he said, well, I just wrote it the way they wanted me to answer it, not the way I actually believed. And I thought, well, if we're teaching kids to not be truthful in what you believe because you know you can't get ahead in a college environment unless you believe what somebody else tells you to believe, that's the opposite of the idea of an enlightened electorate, isn't it?
And I think there's very few of us, Robin, that would say that at some point during our educational career, we didn't write something that just because we thought the teacher or the professor wanted to hear that. So.
Well, and I think that's part of what we want to have on a college campus is the freedom to disagree. And to be challenged, right? I mean, if mm-hmm. I write a proposal that my professor disagrees with, I hope he challenges me. But I also hope he doesn't make me write it the way that he believes it should be so that there's no actual intellectual diversity or intellectual honesty in the conversation. And that's why I think your bill is so important for us to do. Now, some people have said the bill's not needed because the university is actually proceeding with this. I know we tried last session when Governor Walker was in office to get this through, and unfortunately it got bottled up in the state Senate because the regents were successful in saying, well, let us do it ourselves. Well, were we right or was the Senate right the last session?
Well, I can tell you that I was wrong because I thought that things were going to pan out all right because I thought the Board of Regents is going to put this into policy mm-hmm. and everything will be okay. I had regents come back to me and said, we'd still like to see this in law because regent policy is too easy to change.
That's true.
But I thought, well, at least they're moving in the right direction and this is going to, you know, we're going to have this in the university policy.
Mm-hmm.
But now I realize how wrong I was about that, Robin, and I realize that the governor's going to block this now.
Mm.
And if we didn't get it done last time and now he's going to block it, I think we need, though, to make sure that he's on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially if these protests happen. There's no doubt in my mind, especially with this hyper-partisanship that we have in our society today, we're in a really challenging political environment. So I hope UW-Madison or UW-Whitewater or UW-Oshkosh or Green Bay, I hope they bring in presidential candidates and I hope they bring in people to
Absolutely.
Talk about the election, but not if it's all one-sided where you only hear half of the perspective. And I also don't want it to be where a liberal comes on campus and they're applauded and a Republican comes on campus and they're protested. That wouldn't be fair.
Or
vice versa.
And Robin, I think we need to ask, Governor Evers, do you support free speech?
Mm.
And if you do, why are you standing in the way of the policy that the regents are trying to pass? And if that's not the right policy, what are you proposing? How are you leading on this issue? I don't think he has any leadership on this issue.
Well, not just this issue. I think we would agree. But so now I do know that there are some conservative groups, FIRE, which is kind of one of the campus free speech groups around the country, and I think Will or some of those that have had some concerns. Have you had a chance to sit down with them and see if there are potential amendments or ideas that we could incorporate in that would make them a little more supportive of it? Or same with some liberal groups that perhaps could get Governor Evers to perhaps sign it eventually?
Well, this is very interesting because when I was at the National Conference of State Legislatures in Nashville this summer, I got a chance to meet with the folks from FIRE. Mm. It's interesting because to say that they're not supportive of this would be is sort of odd because they are with us on about 95% of this.
That's what it seems like. It's a whole issue, right?
And yeah, and so it becomes, it seems so odd that they come out as a detractor on it. But
can you just take a minute to go through and explain to the listeners exactly what the bill does and how it works?
Sure, Robin. So the bill requires that the Board of Regents adopt a policy on free expression. The one that they've been working on comes from Yale University and from the University of Chicago.
Yeah, no slouch there, yeah.
Well known for free speech. My daughter went to UW-Madison undergraduate. She went to University of Chicago for her law degree. And one day I said to her, I said, what's the difference? We're putting this policy in. Chicago has that policy. I said, what do you see as the difference? And she said, Chicago lives it. We're just putting in the policy, and we'll see if we do anything with
it. Wow. That's a pretty important comment.
Yeah. And so that's why within this, there's a range of disciplinary actions that we can take. At first, all you get is a warning, but then a second time you could get a suspension. A third time you can get an expulsion. Some of the critics get extremely upset about any kind of discipline.
Well, what's the point of having a rule if there's no punishment? If you can just do it 100 times and at the end of the day you can do it 101?
Well, somebody recently made a comment to me and I thought it was rather interesting. They said, well, really, the university right now, under their current policy, could do any of those things on the first attempt if they wanted to.
If they wanted to, sure.
They're not required to do anything, but mm-hmm. they could. And so the idea that this does not exist or there's no possible punishment out there
right.
is not really true.
Well, and again, like you've said in the past, if people have a better way to do it or if they have a different idea, rather than just being opposed to the concept of ensuring we have free speech on campus, come up with an amendment. Come up mm-hmm. with an idea that I'm sure you'd be open to looking at to say, how can we do it smarter?
I belong to a new group that is a nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Free Speech for Campus.
Oh, and that's a nationwide group?
It's a no. Actually, we started it locally in the Fox Valley.
Oh, good for you. Who's involved in that effort?
So it's myself, Dr. Duke Pesta from UW-Oshkosh, mm-hmm. Polly Olson, who mm-hmm. is a young...
Why don't you give us a quick 30 seconds about Polly's
story?
Well,
Polly's an interesting story because Polly was stopped by security at the Northwest Technical College in Green Bay. A couple years ago on Valentine's Day for passing out Valentines. Hmm. Her Valentines were in the shape of a heart, and they had messages on such as Jesus loves you or God bless you yeah. or maybe something as simple as have a nice day.
Yeah.
And they stopped her because they said she wasn't doing that within the free speech zone.
Oh, jeez.
Which we later figured out was 450 square feet on a over 1 million square foot campus.
So probably in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and this has become really a national issue. So mm-hmm. even though I know you're working with Polly locally, I believe you were at the White House because this is an issue that the president's looking at too, right?
Right. So from our bill from last session, Robin, the president took a lot of that verbiage and put it into his executive order that he signed last March, I believe it was.
And what did the executive order do?
So the executive order, what it did was have the agencies within the administration mm-hmm. That deal with the universities be pushing for this free speech. And if there were violations of free speech rights, that they could deny funding for certain programs and the like. So, yeah, it was trying to put some teeth into the idea that free speech is really important. And both myself and Polly were invited to the White House for the signing of that executive order. The president actually had Polly give a little talk about
neat.
Circumstances.
Wow. Had you ever been to the White House before?
No, it was my first time.
What a cool thing, huh?
It was very nice.
You know, no matter who the president is, and of course I'm happy it's Donald Trump, but no matter who the president is, it's just such a majestic place, and the history that's there and the people that have gone through those doors, it just makes you proud to be an American, doesn't it?
You bet. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So speaking of that, kind of our final question, as you think about it, you've been involved in politics for quite a while. I know you've had a successful business career before that. What made you get into this political world? And then I would say as a last question, who's your political hero? Who's the person that's kind of your shining star example that you look at as somebody that we want to emulate?
Outside of Speaker Voss?
Well, you can. That's a good one. Yeah. But how about somebody else? Yeah.
So, you know, Scott Walker certainly is a political hero of mine. And I think one of the reasons that he is a political hero is because I look back at the time when he came into office and what was going on. There was turmoil in the state. There was huge deficits in the budget. And, you know, I think now, 9 years later, all we hear is surplus, surplus. And I got to tell you, as a citizen of the state of Wisconsin, when I hear surplus, I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Right.
Knowing that your finances are in good shape.
Mm-hmm. It allows you to make all the investments you care about, right?
Yeah, it's that peace of mind. It's the security of knowing that your state is in good shape. And Scott Walker gave that to me and gave it to everybody in the state of Wisconsin. And he deserves a pat on the back for
That's a great example. And I'm sure if he listens, he'd agree with you. because if you think about all the things that he did, I mean, not only did he work on freezing tuition, but we actually have got, you know, a really good student body. And I think that's one of the things we can all agree on. No matter what your political party is, we have a great university system, can always stand a little bit of improvement. And I know you'll continue to work on that as the chairman of the Colleges and Universities Committee. And that's why I am so happy that you were able to join me today and explain what's going on with campus free speech. It's an issue that we sure hope will become bipartisan. It certainly should be, because I don't think politics, especially free speech, should ever know the idea that one side should be drowned out. So with that, I want to thank you for being here today.
I appreciate your
time, and look forward to our next discussion on our political podcast. Thanks very much for joining us on The Right Angle.
And that's The Right Angle on campus free speech. Just search for The Right Angle on iTunes and Google Play, Radio Public, Breaker, Overcast, and Pocket Casts if you'd like to subscribe. We hope you do. If you have an idea for a guest or a topic, please tweet us at Wisconsin Assembly GOP. That's WI Assembly GOP. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.